epistle is taken from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, you gladly put up with fools because you are wise yourself. For you suffer if a man enslaves you, if a man devours you, if a man takes from you, if a man is arrogant, if a man slaps your face. I speak to my own shame as though we had been weak in this matter. But wherein any man is bold, I am speaking foolishly. I also am bold. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I, to speak as a fool, am more, in many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in lashes above measures, often exposed to death. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 lashes, less one. Thrice I was scourged, once I was stoned, thrice I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I was adrift on the sea, in journeyings often, in perils from floods, in perils from robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labor and hardship, in many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those outer things, there is my daily pressing anxiety, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I am not inflamed? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that concern my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knows that I do not lie. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of the Damascenes in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. If I must boast, it is not indeed expedient to do so, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, that he was caught up into paradise and heard secret words that man may not repeat. Of such a man I will boast, but of myself I will glory in nothing save my infirmities. For if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I forbear lest any man should reckon me beyond what he sees in me or hears from me. And lest the greatness of the revelation should puff me up, there was given to me a thorn for the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Concerning this, thrice I besought the Lord that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness. Gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the strength of Christ may dwell in me. The gospel is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, when a very great crowd was gathered together, and men from every town were resorting to Jesus, he said in a parable, the sower went out to sow the seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside and was trodden underfoot. And the birds of the air ate it up, and other seed fell upon the rock, and as soon as it had sprung up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other seed fell upon good ground and sprung up and yielded fruit 100-fold. And as he said these things, he cried out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But his disciples then began to ask him what this parable meant. And he said to them, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Now those upon the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, but believing for a while, and in a time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they who have heard, and as they go their way, are choked by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not ripen. But that upon the good ground, these are they who, with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This week, earlier in the week, there was the Feast of St. Matthias. Now, St. Matthias is not a very well-known saint. He was the 13th apostle. He was chosen to replace Judas. And his feast day is February 24th. He was one of them. He was a disciple. He wasn't an apostle. He was a disciple with them from the very beginning. And in the readings for that day, it's in the Acts of the Apostles where we see St. Peter leading the apostles, in choosing the replacement for Judas. And the lot fell upon, the due lot, fell upon St. Matthias. Now, St. Matthias preached in the Holy Land there in Palestine, and ultimately he was martyred for the faith, just like all the other apostles except for St. John. Now, it's important to remember to think about St. Matthias. He was a disciple of our Lord, but he wasn't initially chosen by our Lord. You know, we say every apostle in the scripture where we see our Lord calling them, he says, come, follow me. And every apostle receives that invitation directly, that mission to follow him. But St. Matthias, though, was just a disciple. He was there with the teachings of our Lord. And you know, we can think about even in the gospel today where the apostles are told what the meaning was. Was St. Matthias, was he in that inner circle? Maybe not. He wasn't one of the apostles. However, later on, he receives the call. He receives the call not directly from Christ, come follow me, but he receives the call nonetheless. And his mission in life then changed. He became an apostle, a bishop of the early church. We see St. Paul talking about that his concern is what? The churches, because he's also an apostle. He's like the 13th or 14th apostle. His concern is the churches. So now St. Matthias' concern is what? The churches, the faithful, to promote the faith and to make it spread and preach the faith. And so, as Lent approaches, it is good to reflect upon this. And it is providential that the Feast of St. Matthias falls this time of year. Why? Because we should reflect upon our own life. Everybody has a mission in life. God has chosen you, and he planned your days, my days, from all eternity with a special mission. That mission always embodies some form of charity, some form of love, to love in a specific way. But we need to reflect upon that. And think about that. Every sin can be thought of as a rejection of that mission, that calling of Christ. I am impatient when I reject humility. Humility or anger. When I'm angry, I reject that call to be humble and patient right here at this moment. Or maybe greedy. I'm greedy and covetous when God wants me to be liberal. Liberality, that is, to not hold on to my material possessions or my goods, but to give them freely. I am gluttonous when I should be giving up these type of things. We can think of it that way, but also we can think of it on a larger and grander scale. Like St. Matthias. St. Matthias had he was a disciple following Christ, but he did not plan to be an apostle. And yet he was called. And his mission in life then was revealed to him. As we go through life, you know, we like to plan. We talk to kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they have all these plans. But, you know, as adults we know, you know, sometimes, as they say, man plans and God chuckles. God kind of laughs at our plans because he has a completely different plan for us. And so it was with St. Matthias. Now, another saint in which this famously happened to, of course, is St. Francis Xavier. We know him now as the apostle to the East, the apostle to India and to Japan, and he wanted to go into China. He is one of the patrons of the missionary work. And yet, he never planned to do that. He was a nobleman, and he was an intellectual. He was planning to go and teach in university or teach at schools and things like that, and his call came 2 days before he left for India. There was another Jesuit who was to go. He got ill. St. Ignatius went to him and said, Francis, you are to go now to India. Now, at that time, even now today, if someone were to say, you know, I want you to spend your life now in India preaching the gospel. Sometimes that could be hard to do because, you know, this is still a third world country. And there's a lot of difficulties and privations there. And this man who was a noble son, he might not have had a title of prince, but his parents were, you know, they had an estate and everything. He grew up in a well-to-do life. And to be told this, 2 days later, there's a ship, you're going to be on it, it's departing for India, you will be on it. And he received his mission. He probably had different plans, but God had a different plan for him. Now, in each of our lives, God's plan or mission for us is revealed through time like this. And it could be something grand like that. We like to think about that. However, oftentimes it's something much simpler. I know a couple, they have a family, and they had a child. And this was, I think, they're about 6th or 7th child. And the child had Down syndrome. Now, today, unfortunately, some people who aren't open to life, who want to plant things, you know, sometimes people are now talking about whether they should terminate those type of things. But, of course, this family was a good Catholic couple, and they recognize in this that God's will for them, God's plan or mission for their life, and they welcome this child, this Down syndrome child. Now, they were getting older, and they knew that this would be a little bit of a cross. They can't keep up, you know, when you're 20 years old, you might be able to keep up with a child. When you're getting a little older, it's harder. And a Down syndrome child stays like a child, never quite grows up. So they knew that there would be a change in their life. And they knew that this would be with them for a while, this person. Of course, they embraced that. And they loved their daughter tenderly. And of course, it's a very beautiful child, and there's a great blessing from that. But that was God's mission for them, that through the love they offered that child, and that child will always be under the age of reason. There's, in one sense, Down syndrome children are beautiful because they're under the age of reason oftentimes, but they have this great ability to love and to spread love and the love of Christ if they're so taught. And they can be beautiful. And so this child is a little ray of sunshine, but it is a cross, and they readily accepted it. Sometimes that can be the mission in our life. You know, there are many young people here. God may have a mission for you, a plan for you, and that is maybe he has a plan for the priestly life or the convent. He's calling you to that, planning for this or that, and yet God has a different plan. We have to be open to that. And we have to look for that. Now, during this time of Lent is approaching, the time of penance, we should be doing penance. We can look at our sins as a sin is, of course, an offense against God, but we can also look at it as a saying no to God's plan for us. I kind of mentioned before, where I'm supposed to be patient, I got angry. God's plan was for me to show patience for that person, and that is my failing then. And so we can look at our sins in that way, and our penance, we can look at our penance in that way also, to make up for this failing, because I was supposed to be patient with that person and I wasn't, so now my penance has to be, you know, to try to make up for that, but also my penance is to try to undo this so that I can get back on the right path, so I can get back on the mission that God wants for me, so that the next time I'll have the grace to do what I'm supposed to do. Now, there's a very good little prayer that can help us with this, and that is a little prayer to just say, Jesus, or even say to Mary, help me to be the person that, if you're praying to Jesus, say, Jesus, help me to be the person that you want me to be. And you pray to Our Lady and say, Mary, help me to be the person that your son wants me to be, or that your son created me to be. It's a very simple prayer. It's a prayer of humility, because it puts aside our own plans and opens us up to what God wants for us. And it's a very effective prayer. very simple. It can be done all throughout the day. It can be done when you receive communion, when our Lord comes into your soul. At that moment, you can welcome him with that little prayer of humility. Let me be the person that you want me to be. And this can cover both the grand things of what you'll do for your life in your life, whether to be a nun, a priest, or be married, or these type of things, and also the very simple things, that is, at this moment, I should just be quiet and not talk, and just not gossip, to be quiet, or maybe say something, something little like that. It's important for us to make these kind of prayers. It's important for us to do the penance to make up for our past failure. Now, we also need to remember why Saint Matthias was chosen. He was chosen because someone failed. And you shouldn't gloss this. You need to remember this. God truly has given us the power to choose. He says in the Old Testament, see, I put two paths before you, one of life and one that leads to death. And it is our choice. And the reason why St. Matthias was chosen was because Judas failed. He chose against him. And sometimes people want to say, well, we don't know where, what happened. No, we do know. You read the scriptures, it's very clear. There's a whole psalm, Psalm 50 or 51, about Judas. It's very clear. He put on iniquity like a garment, and it flowed into his bones like oil. And he even says, may his mission, may his ministry, depending on the translation, may his bishopric be given to another. And St. Peter quotes that when calling the apostles together to choose St. Matthias. Remember this, that God gives us a mission. And we can choose to embrace it, or we can reject it. And it is real. We have to remember this. And so, the time of Lent is also the time in which we make up for those things, those bigger things that we reject. I remember hearing once about someone, they really wanted to be married. They also knew it wasn't God's plan. They knew it. And yet, they wanted to do what they wanted to do. And because of that, they had to do penance. Because they chose their own way. Now, God gave them grace. God will always give grace so that you can be saved. But because they chose their own path, it was more difficult. You can think about other choices that have long-lasting repercussions, like terminating a pregnancy or something like that. There's another choice in which it's not easily overcome. A person has to be penance probably for their whole life with things like that. We have to remember this. And we need to strive. Path God has chosen for us. The path, I should say, that God has planned for us. It will be the best life for us. It will always give us graces to live a holy life. So, as we approach the season of Lent, it's only a week and a half away, coming up quick, you can think about what you want to do, the little penance you want to do. Next week we'll have some sheets in the back, standard penances. You need to think about this. Think about times in which you rejected the plan God has laid out for you. Pray the little prayer. Jesus, help me to be the person you created me to be so that this season of Lent will be a profitable one and that you can then truly be closer and to live the life that our Lord wants you to live. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.